Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the third chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. You know, it was a great thing when the corn sheller was invented. Next time you go east from here towards DeWitt, check out that corn sheller sitting on the side of the road. It's a great thing, the corn sheller, mounted on the back of a truck, powered by that truck's engine. It was a great leap forward from the previous models that it replaced. With a corn sheller, you could shell thousands of bushels of corn in a single day. It was a wonderful thing, that corn sheller. Was. It was. And in the 1960s, it was replaced by the combine, which combined several different functions in one machine. And there aren't that many corn shellers around anymore. If you head east from here on the north side of the road, sitting out by the barn, can't miss it, about a mile before you get to Highway 61. Oh, and there's a corn sheller up in Bennett, just east of town, parked at an old corn crib, which is symbolic because that's been replaced by round bins. And John is baptizing Jesus. Why is John baptizing Jesus? Doesn't that seem just a little bit odd? John baptizing Jesus? I think that if Jesus came up to me after church and asked me to baptize him, I think that would be kind of weird. And John must have thought that it was kind of weird that Jesus came up to him. Jesus asking John to baptize him. And in fact, Matthew tells us John does think it was, well, kind of weird when Jesus does come to him to be baptized by him. Matthew tells us that Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? And of course, what's weird for me and for John and for any of us about Jesus being baptized by John is that baptism is for sinners, to wash away their sins. And Jesus didn't have any need for his sins to be washed away because he had no sins. And yet we find Jesus coming to John to be baptized by John. John the Baptizer was about 30 years old, so was Jesus, and about 20 miles east of Jerusalem when he began to baptize people. And hence the moniker John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. It says that John was preaching a baptism of repentance for or into the forgiveness of sins. What that means is that in his sermons, John was telling people to change. That's what repent means. He was telling them to change from sinning to not sinning. Stop your sinning, which is impossible. He was telling them to change from trusting in your own good works for salvation to trusting in the salvation that comes with the forgiveness of sins, which is what keeps us from being saved. The sins, that is. The forgiveness is what gets us saved. The water of John's baptism, which means a washing, is symbolized that forgiveness, that cleansing of sin, to become clean of the stain of sin by the forgiveness of sin. And Luke tells us that there was a sort of buzz going around about John. People, Luke tells us, were in a state of expectation about John. And that word means that the expectation was about the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. John also tells us that the people were, quote, reasoning in their hearts about John. They were reasoning in their hearts about John. Which makes it sound like they watch Oprah in the afternoon and then listen to Delilah in the evening, this business of in their hearts, and that they wanted to follow their hearts or something like that, but they didn't know where their collective heart was leading them. But in the Bible, to reason in their hearts meant that they were thinking with their brains a thing that's actually encouraged by God, thinking with our brains, who invented the brain and who invented thinking. It's what we humans do. We think. How often do we think? All the time we think. That's how often you are thinking right now. And they were thinking right then. And what were they thinking? They were thinking that they maybe liked John the Baptizer. And they were thinking that John the Baptizer was clearly sent from God. And they were thinking that John the Baptizer, well, he might be the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. That's what they were thinking about John. You may have heard of that one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. When even then Adam sinned, they introduced sin into the entire world, and people have been sinning ever since, in thought, by the things that we are thinking in our minds, by words, by the venom that comes out of our pie holes, and by deeds, by the things that we actually do or don't do, because of what we think, say, and do, and because of what we don't think, say, and do that we ought to do, God is displeased with us, and rightly, and he consigns us to hell for eternity. He told Adam that if you eat from that tree, you will die. And Adam ate from that tree anyway, and so Adam dies. First, the physical death, and even more seriously, the spiritual death that comes from hell eternally. And then God said to Satan, the one who had tempted Eve, then Adam, in the presence of those two original sinners, God said that he would send one to defeat the defeater, that Satan would bruise the heel, a painful injury but not fatal, of the seed of Eve, but that the descendant of Eve would crush the head, a fatal blow of Satan. And the Old Testament is a history of the satanic attempts to crush out that seed of Eve because he doesn't want to get his head crushed. And of God thwarting Satan at every turn because God wants that head to be crushed and us to be saved. And as the Old Testament played itself out in the history of man, the idea developed of a coming Messiah. It means anointed with oil. The Greek word is Christ, who will come, who will defeat Satan, and who will establish the kingdom of God. I think my father owned and operated one of the last, and I'm pretty sure it was actually the last corn shellers in these parts. And like a lot of other things, the death of the corn sheller coincided with the death of an era. One of my earliest and most vivid childhood memories is I remember going with my father to shell corn. We would get up in the morning way too early, pull the ice that he'd made in bread pans out of the freezer, fill the igloo with water, go to work. And we rode in pitch black to the elevator, shoved some donuts and coffee into our pie holes. And when we got all the shovels and picks and rakes loaded, we made our way out to the farm and we would spend the entire day, dawn to dusk, raking corn out of the crib, running it through the shellers. Oh, and at noon, the sheller singular, and at noon everything shut down and we went inside at the dining room table, sat down and ate like kings. And that's the part of the era that died that's not a good thing. The rest of it you can have. But some had grown weary of the wait for the Messiah, the Christ, the one who would defeat the defeater and establish the kingdom of God. God had, in fact, not even spoken to his people for over 400 years. Did he even remember them after all this time? And then came John. And then came John, who was great. Yeah, he was a bit goofy. His clothing and diet were not necessarily the norm, but they loved his preaching, which seemed to them to be the very voice of God himself, and they wondered if John might be the Christ, the Savior. That's what they were thinking about John. And they were thinking, And then, like things go, they likely shared their thoughts with one another, because that's what people do. They share their thoughts with one another. And at some point, they verbalized it to John, what they thought of him. And John answered, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Did you see what just happened there? The masses wanted to make it about John. They wanted to hail John as the Christ and crown John as the Messiah. But John would have nothing to do with that. John knew, as any good pastor knows, as any good Christian knows, that it's not about John. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, who is the Christ, who is Messiah, who is mightier than any of us, whose sandal none of us are worthy to undo the Velcro of. We have been praying here, haven't we? We have been praying here every Sunday that God would send a faithful pastor to this congregation. And as you know, on Monday, this congregation voted to extend a solemn call to Pastor Peter Hoft, who is a faithful pastor. I've met him, talked to him a few times, know him by reputation. He's a faithful pastor, and he will direct your attention to Jesus, who is the Christ, and not to self, who is not. Like Pastor Hoft, like John the Baptizer, it is the task of all faithful Christians to not direct attention to self, but to Jesus, who is alone the Christ, who is mightier than any of us, the one who will come with fire, the one who has the winnowing fork in his hand and who comes with fire. The winnowing fork, some translations say a shovel. It was like a fork or a shovel, like a grain scoop. And if you wanted to separate the wheat from the chaff, you'd throw the wheat, dried wheat plant up under the air, and the heavy wheat will fall away and the chaff will stay there. That's the winnowing fork. And he's going to come with fire, the one who has this winnowing fork in his hand. Fire, which in the Bible means judgment, and which in the Bible means purification. Fire. He's bringing fire. And of course, you know, hell is pictured as being a place of fire, a place of eternal fire, a place where you will burn and never be consumed. That's judgment. That's fire. Don't want to do that. So the man with the winnowing fork comes bringing fire, judgment. It was really amazing to watch that corn shell at work. Ear after ear of corn was raked out of the bin, went down the conveyor belt, up into the sheller, and three things came out the end. The other end, the corn, went into a truck, back to the elevator, maybe right to the river, maybe to be loaded into a railroad car to a place where it would be made into something useful. Maybe go to the Jack Daniels factory down in Peoria. Rain makes corn. Corn makes a lot of useful things. You should watch Modern Marvel's Corn. Anybody who lives in Iowa, the top corn producing state in the Union, should watch Modern Marvel's Corn. Good stuff. And on the ground, there were two piles, and nobody seemed to care much about those two piles on the ground. The one pile was the cobs, that center cylinder left over when the corn was stripped from it, the part that you don't eat when you eat sweet corn or corn on the cob, and then red stuff, a pile of red stuff that my dad called chaff. And that chaff was left to blow in the wind. Chaff was something, but it wasn't anything useful. So to review, corn, very useful. Cob, not so much. chef, totally useless. In fact, nobody even bothered to burn it. Just let it blow away. But Jesus will burn it. Of Jesus, that's how you get it completely cleansed. The threshing floor, you burn it. Of Jesus, John says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather grain into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. There will be a separation on the last day. Like the modern combine separates the good corn or soybeans into the hopper to go to the auger wagon, to go to the truck because it's useful. But the chaff, the husk, all that other stuff is pretty much useless. It's dust in the wind. Jesus will burn that useless stuff. And fire also means purification. When the Bible uses that term fire, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire for our purification. And that's the fire that has meaning for the Christian. Adam brought sin into the world. Jesus, the second Adam, dealt with that sin on the cross where he died, taking into his body all of our sins of thought, word, and deed, and coming with the forgiveness of sins, so that when God sees us, he doesn't see our sin, he doesn't count against us, but only the righteousness of Jesus. That's the purification that comes with Christian baptism. He established baptism to get those benefits that he got in that time and in that place to us in this time and in this place. Corn is good, but it doesn't do a whole lot of good if it's left out in the field, does it? You have to have a way to get that corn, or those soybeans, or that wheat, to a place where it will be do some good. And the way you get it there is generally with a tractor or a truck. Baptism, the spoken word, the sacrament of the altar are the means, the way that God gets what Jesus won for us 2,000 years ago, a long ways away, to here, to this place, to this time. Like a tractor with a wagon or a truck, the means of grace get that good thing here where we can make use of it. Hear about it, receive that forgiveness of sins. That's what baptism does. That's what the sacrament of the altar is. That's what the spoken word does. And through these things come the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit that changes us, the Spirit that makes us alive. That's what a Spirit does, makes you alive. And so I guess Jesus can do this. Overruling John, Jesus is baptized by John. And what does Jesus say to convince John to baptize him? Well, Matthew tells us, he tells him that it is necessary in order to fulfill all righteousness. And what Jesus means by that is that he's putting himself in the place of sinners. In his time, baptism was for sinners, people who were dirty, people who needed cleaning. He's putting himself in the place of sinners, and he'll do the same thing on the cross where he takes the place of sinners so that we take the place of righteous people, people who don't have any sin, because by his death on the cross, our sins are forgiven. And what it means when your sins are forgiven, it means that God doesn't count them against us anymore. You're righteous. When he looks at you, he sees righteous people because your sins are gone, they're forgiven. And when Jesus is baptized, the voice from heaven says, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And because of him, when you were baptized, that same voice from heaven said to you, "You are my beloved child, with whom I am well pleased." Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.